The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray's back from a really nice weekend to the Pacific Northwest. Had a great trip up there. We're happy for him. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It's Monday, March 5th, 2018, as we plunge into the first full week of the month of March. Watched a little bit of the Academy Awards last night. I thought, pretty good show. It was kind of nice to see some of the movie. They had a lot more of the old clips this year for their 90th anniversary, and it was a pretty good show overall. Coming to you from AM 1030, this is the Buckmaster Show. We've got our worldwide live listening at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Our Monday political face-off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I was over having some items taken care of at Moe's on Saturday, and a gentleman comes up to me and says, "You sound like Bill Buckmaster." And I said, "I am Bill Buckmaster." He says, "So what you're saying on the radio is true. You actually do come here." I said, "Yes, I come here a lot." And Mo is the guy for custom framing. This individual had never been there before, but he had heard about us on the radio, John Munger.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, and Mo was there to hear it. So
see,
that's always good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. John Munger is here, and Vince Robigo. John Munger, one of Tucson's finest attorneys, as is Vince Robigo. John's former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, John is former Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince ran for attorney general. In both John and Vince ran in 2010, and Vince has been very active in Democratic affairs. He former head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Vince, how was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. Thank you.
Did you go away or anything?
No, I stayed here, had some family visitors, so we just enjoyed the time and the good weather here.
And you said you did watch a little of the Oscars.
I did. My wife was watching it, and I sat right next to her and watched a good chunk of it. I don't usually watch the Oscars, but it was an enjoyable show.
Mm-hmm. And John, you said that you rarely will watch
it. I just...
But that doesn't mean you don't like movies.
Oh, I love to go to movies.
Yeah. And you especially liked the Churchill movie.
I did. Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that portrayed Churchill won Best Actor. And that's Gary Oldman. So I can't wait to see that movie. I did see Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And that won, I think, one or two technical awards for the sound editing. So
my wife's uncle was killed at Dunkirk.
You're kidding.
He was one of the British soldiers.
Wow. But anyway, I'm a big history buff, as are you, John, and I know we like World War II movies. Vince, you like them too.
I do. I do, and other history movies. In fact, I spent some time this weekend. One of the visitors was my father, who was a World War II vet. So we actually were watching historical documentaries available on the internet and YouTube, and a variety of things related to World War I, the Mexican Revolution, you name it. We watched a good number of historical documentaries together this weekend.
Yeah, I like those too. Before we talk about a possible trade war, and I know, John, you came prepared to talk about that, and Vince as well, but I did notice that CNN, Vince, was talking about the 8th Congressional District in Arizona, which has been a conservative Republican red district forever. There is Democrats are enthusiastic. They've got they feel a pretty good candidate going up against State Senator Debbie Lesko.
That's right. You have Dr. Hiral Tippernanny,
an emergency room physician. Yeah.
Yeah, and she ran a very solid primary campaign, and this was not just sort of a meaningless race because there were competitors in that race. And so it was a primary battle that was fought. And what I've seen, at least through social media, is that the supporters of the other main candidate that was running have all coalesced behind the candidate, Dr. Tippernanny, and including the candidate who lost. And so there's certainly a lot of energy and momentum. And on the other part of it, I think people were tired of what they'd been seeing with the incumbent congressperson that's not running, and also sort of the tapped heir apparent who got involved in some scandals there. Mm-hmm. Senator Montenegro. I guess he resigned, but Montenegro, and he had his own scandals issues, yeah. and issues, and so it's going to be a tough district to win. I think the numbers are just very difficult to get over, but It's anybody's prediction in a midterm election. Those are oftentimes favor the challenging party.
John, millennials continue to have a very distinct and increasingly liberal outlook, according to new research from the Pew Research Center. Do the Republicans have to worry about the future?
Well, my son's a millennial, mm-hmm. and I understand how they think. Fundamentally, millennials are libertarians. Mm-hmm. Economically, they want to be left alone. They don't trust big government. They don't trust big business. They don't trust anybody. The issues that they tend to be interested in are not economic issues. They're not national security issues. They're social issues. So they are caught up in what's racism, LGBTQ, all those different social issues, immigration. I think that they need to, the Republican Party needs to be concerned about every group of Americans. On the other hand, I think that the Democratic Party needs to be concerned about some of the identity groups that they've historically had, like the blacks and the Hispanics and some of those groups. So I think you're always going to see people change. I think also with time, as we all joke about over time, younger people generally are more liberal. Generally speaking, always have been, certainly true of the boomers.
Was that the case in your particular life?
Sure.
When you were at Stanford, were you like a liberal?
No, I was a conservative, but I was more liberal than I am now.
Okay.
And as you grow older, you face realities in life and you become more and more conservative. At least tend to. I think we need to be concerned about all of that, but I don't think it's a particularly major problem, especially on the economic and national defense issues.
What do you think, Vince?
Well, the thing that was interesting is, the Pew Center came out with this recent research report, and they've been studying these generational gaps, so to speak, since 1994. And contrary to what John is saying, this polling of millennials actually, there's some things that John is right on, but actually some things he's incorrect on, according to the research.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is this issue of the role of government and whether or not they want a bigger government that does more for the people. And that was one of the surprising findings that I saw. So it doesn't match with this claim that they're libertarian and they don't want government involved. They actually are wanting a bigger government, and that they are viewing these social economic issues and seeing this sort of wealth gap in the country. He's right on sort of the defense issues. There's less of a difference there in the different groups.
The so-called equality gap when it comes to wages.
Correct, and some of those issues that are sort of economic issues. So there are some big issues that I think that the current research, at least, is disagreeing with what John is saying. And the biggest findings, of course, was that certainly with respect to the current administration and the what they view as with President Trump, his policies and what he's doing. But that, what's really interesting is, so that's one snapshot, right, of a wide variety of groups. You have the millennials, you have the supposed, Generation X, and apparently I barely fall into that, which I didn't realize until I was reading those categories. Apparently I'm just in Gen X, according to some groups.
And what's
I think that's 1965 through, I forget, the cutoff year.
Okay.
But the bigger aspect is, aside from these millennials that are obviously make up a big chunk of population, but the question is they're very excited about the upcoming 2018 elections, but do they vote? That's going to be obviously the key factor.
Issue. Huge.
But beyond that, you also have to start looking at the sort of post-millennial group and what's happening with the students, like from the high school students in Parkland and this wave of activism.
What
you're
do they
with
call that generation? That's
I don't know if it's
maybe
post millennials is what they're called. I don't know if there's a specific
Ray
demographic.
Ray is going to tell me that. Oh, that's Gen Z, Generation Z. Okay, great. Let's talk about trade, John. When we come back, we'll take our break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Robigo with us, John Munger. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, Washington, D.C. contributor Terry Bracey will join us for his monthly commentary from the nation's capital. Also, Dustin Williams comes. Dustin Williams is the Pima County Superintendent of Public Instruction. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off featuring John Munger and Vince Robigo. 790-2040 if you'd like to join us. John, the president came out on Thursday, surprised a lot of people, including people in his own administration, when he called for that 20% tariff on imported aluminum and steel. Do you think that's a good move?
I think it's a great move. What we need to understand is that China in particular, but Europe as well, has been slowly destroying our heavy industry, the steel industry, aluminum industry. Let me give you some things that people don't talk about. What China does is, number one, it manipulates its currency to keep the yuan, their currency, low so that their goods are cheaper, artificially cheaper. They do that. They also charge extraordinarily high tariffs and taxes on our goods coming to them. The combination tariffs and taxes shipping to China is 27%. Now, ours comes to around 9%. So if China ships here, tariffs and taxes total about 9% on their goods. They charge us, our goods, 27%. Not only that, so our goods are much more expensive because the yuan is kept low, so the dollar is expensive, and then they charge 27% on average based on those goods so that we can't sell our goods there. And then when our companies go to China to try to enter the Chinese market, you can't enter the Chinese market without partnering with a government entity, because they're all government entities, basically. And when you do, you have to give up, to do business there, you have to give up all of your intellectual property rights to the government in China. So they are basically using their market to steal our intellectual property rights. We don't do that here. They also subsidize their goods. And what brought this on is not only the extraordinarily high tariffs and taxes, but they charge, for example, 25% increase on our cars. We charge 2% for cars coming into this country. They have been lately dumping aluminum and steel into our country. What they do is they subsidize their aluminum and steel industry, combine that with the low cost of the yuan, their currency, and they are dumping steel and aluminum in our country so that our steel and aluminum industry is being driven out of business. Well, that affects our national defense and everything else.
Okay. Vince, what do you think?
And we can't compete with that. To give you an idea of Europe charges 10% on our cars. Mm-hmm. We charge 2% on their cars.
So you're saying you want a level playing field.
And the only thing you can do is say, look, you're no longer third world nations. Which is what we did. We let that happen for years and years to build up their economies. But now they're our competitors, and we have to get back to parity.
What do you think?
I believe in fair trade, but it's got to be free. I believe in free trade, but it's got to be fair.
Here's Vince Robigo.
Well, you know, it's not so much what I think, but it's what other industries are saying. It is what other Republicans are saying, like the Speaker of the House Let me just give you an example. So he's talking about industries like the vehicle industry. Well, the Car Dealers Association, the International Association
of Dealers. They're furious about
this. They came out, yeah. And they were shocked about it, and says that it puts them at a tremendous disadvantage. The manufacturers, those are the dealers. Now that you talk about the manufacturers, they also have come out and says it puts them at a competitive disadvantage. The beer industry has come out and criticized it. The National Retail Association came out and then said, you make no mistake, this is a tax on American families. Caterpillar, which is coming here to Tucson, they said not only would be a challenge, that it would put Caterpillar at a competitive disadvantage with its foreign competitors. And so then you look at influential business groups like the Business Roundtable. The leader of that group came out and said they strongly disagreed with the administration's approach on this. And what trade experts have said, what economists have said that have studied this issue, because they didn't think this would actually happen. I had a feeling it was coming because Trump talked about this during his campaign.
Yeah,
so that this is coming home to roost. But they are viewing this, because John has brought up China. They, and I forget the gentleman's name, has described this as a gift to China. Because what is happening here is that these alleged unfair labor practices and other things that China is able to do in this, in sort of the international labor market, if the United States takes this sort of insular view and ends up hurting its allies, which I also forgot to mention, other countries, including the European Union, including Canada, others, mm-hmm. they are coming out saying, hey, what's going on here? We are in a global market here, and this is hurting
about
us.
A trade war.
And so they're worried about what could cause retaliation, but more importantly, what it does is it seeds our role in the world as being the leader and champion of free trade, and it seeds that ground to somebody like China, who has a terrible record.
So the bottom line is what those people and Vince are suggesting is we just let China destroy our heavy industry.
It's a false premise.
Act against us and destroy our industry piece by piece while they continue to charge very high rates against our people, steal our intellectual property, manipulate their currency to keep their goods cheap, and that we're just supposed to sit here and take it.
That's a false premise, John.
No,
that's a false premise. Look at the market dropped 600 points. Look at other issues, like you want to talk about China. Guess what? They're not the biggest exporter of steel in the United States. You know who is? Canada and Mexico at 25%.
Well,
so to claim that this is all about China when it's hurting other allies and it's going to cause retaliation.
We have a $327 billion per year trade deficit with China, and Europe is right behind it.
Okay.
We cannot sustain that. These are not fair practices. If we're going to have free trade, we need to have fair trade with parity.
All right.
And if you don't do that, this is just Trump's opening gambit, Bill.
Okay.
And he's laying out what needs to happen. Now, we will see what is negotiated.
All right. Let me go to Ingrid. She's been waiting very patiently. Hello, Ingrid. What's on your mind?
Hello. It's been wonderful listening. The net effect this is all very detrimental to the end consumer, regardless of what country they live in. It's also very hard on the people who are the laborers in the factories, and this is particularly discouraging to hear about in China, what's going on in China.
So you're worried about what this is going to do to the consumer.
The consumer, the worker. It is doing it. The people who are benefiting from this are the ones who are working with the governments, in which case some of these governments are very, very cruel. And if the free enterprise isn't allowed to flourish, this will continue. This is for the benefit of a few people at the top.
Okay, Ingrid, thank you for your point. Richard is up next. Go ahead, Richard.
These are, Bill, a surprise action. It is not a surprise by this crazy president. He's such a John Birch extremist. But the one person in America that was not surprised was Carl Icahn, Trump's good buddy, who sold off 31 million in steel stocks two or three days before our crazy president took this idiotic action.
Okay, thank you, Richard. John?
Well, here's the problem. I know that people don't want to deal with it. Americans don't want to deal with problems. The problems is that our steel industry, our aluminum industry, our heavy industry throughout this country is being killed. We have lost plant after plant. We are no longer going to be able to create our own steel in this country. We are getting down to the point where we won't have that industry if this continues, and it's got to be stopped.
But you understand why people are
upset. I understand. People are concerned. You're upsetting the apple cart, but you need to deal with the problem. You can't just appease these people or they will keep destroying us.
Okay.
They will steal our jobs, they will steal our technology, and they will we will be doing nothing but increasing our deficit, trade deficit, more and more as time passes, and we will produce fewer and fewer goods because we will be run out of business by these unfair trade practices.
Vince Robigo, final word.
I would just say that you look when George W. Bush did a similar trade action, we lost 200,000 jobs in 2002. At the beginning of the Great Depression with the Smooth Hartley Act, it helped worsen the Great Depression when they did these sorts of measures. So what John is trying to say in the big picture is we have a lot of different segments in our economy, but what he's not mentioning, it's like you have a problem in the back room, but what Trump's doing is burning down the whole house based on this alleged problem, because that's what all these other industries are saying, is you're hurting everybody else in the big picture.
He's dealing with steel and aluminum.
So John, you already spoke. He said, I got the last word on this. And so you're going to focus on one part of the American industry to the detriment of everybody else and the American worker and the American consumer, and that's really what's going to happen at the end of the day.
They are dumping subsidized prices, steel and aluminum, and ruining our industry. He's focusing only on that, and if they want to retaliate in other things, then fine, we'll deal with it. I don't think they will.
History's already proven him wrong. History's proven him wrong.
All right.
That's why everyone's upset.
Vince Robigo, have a great week, Vince.
Thank you.
John, have a great week.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks very much. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Thank you, Mo, for your support. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell. With a varied and extensive menu, including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven, Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, our fine sponsor, urging all of our listeners, give that area a try if you've not been over there. It's only a 3-hour drive. So much to do, from hiking to exploring historic Silver City, or just really hanging out in a lovely environment. The best place to start your visit would be to go to the website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete listing of the many places to stay. There's several dozen listed, really all fine accommodations, and there's some great recreation ideas there listed on the website for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is retired General John Wickham. General Wickham was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served more than 4 decades in the U.S. Army, and we're always delighted and honored to have General Wickham with us. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Great to be on your wonderful program.
Well, thank you so much. We have some news. I guess over the weekend, President Trump said that North Korea actually called up seeking to talk with the United States. What do you think of this development?
Well, that's an encouraging sign. I think the Olympics in Seoul have made the difference, and I think the opportunity here is good if we can continue to work with them. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has said, we're not going to talk to you North Koreans unless you agree to a precondition of agreeing to negotiate to give up nuclear weapons. And the North Koreans have said, we're not going to do that. There's no precondition. So we've got to get sort of middle ground there. I think we can sit down and talk about the opportunities for some sort of constraints on North Korean behavior, the way we did with the USSR during the Cold War.
Well, I mean, is it fantasy to even think that North Korea is going to give up one nuclear weapon, General Wickham?
It is fantasy, exactly right. And having lived over there, two tours and lived over there years, and understanding the Asian mentality, particularly the Korean, I studied the Korean language, so I think I understand a little bit about them. And their attitude is the weapons they have is sort of a guarantee of independence and sovereignty. And they feel threatened by the United States. After all, we've got more capability in South Korea than the North Koreans have in North Korea. And so they feel threatened, and they feel that these weapons are essential to their future. And Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, believed that nuclear weapons were essential, and he's the one that started the programs to get them. So I just think it's a fantasy, as you point out, to think that they're going to give them up. But I do think that we can negotiate some constraints on the exporting of technology, inspections, and testing of weapons, that kind of thing. Those things could be negotiated.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in, General Wickham would be happy to hear from you and to take your questions. I just think there's been a thaw from that Olympics, a thaw on the relations here, and I see an opening. Do you, General Wickham?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I do, Bill, and I'm encouraged by it. I'm an optimist about the future, and talk is better than war, and I think the South Korean Moon president, I don't know him, but I've read a little bit about him. He is anxious to have a relationship with the North Koreans. That doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be unification of the two countries. It's not going to be like the unification of Germany, because there's such a disparity in income between North and South Korea that the South Koreans would have to go back to almost the Stone Age in order to allow this to happen. So I do think that it could be moving towards better relationships, yes.
Well, there might be some negotiating points here. I know that the North Koreans do not like those annual joint Republic of Korea-U.S. military maneuvers. You took part in them, certainly, when you were over there. That might be something that possibly we could negotiate on, scale that down.
Amen, Bill. Exactly right. They don't like those maneuvers. Obviously, they see them as preparing for invasion, and the maneuvers are designed to defend South Korea. On the other hand, when you're moving forces around going towards the north, as we do with those exercises, aerial exercises and ground exercises of many thousands of troops, it's easy for the North Koreans to be uneasy about it. And when I was a commander over there for 3 years, they objected again and again through the Chinese. And one of the ideas I broached that I mentioned on your program before, I suggested to the North Koreans through the Chinese that they can send observers, military observers, to the exercise to show that they are peaceful. And the Chinese thought that was a gangbusters idea, but they came back to me and said the North Koreans rejected it absolutely. So that's not going to work. I think we've got to give up those exercises maybe every other year, or give them up, or go back to war games.
When you were how close did we come to a full-scale shooting war when you were over there for 3 years?
We did, very close. When Park Chung-hee was assassinated, the president, and there was a coup d'etat against him. I wrote, it's in my book, Korea on the Brink, about how close we came to a war. President Carter was very upset. He blamed me and the ambassador for the coup. We should have stopped it. You don't stop coups, you deal with them. But we came very close to a war.
So President Carter was blaming you. Now, what could you possibly have done to prevent the coup?
Well, he felt that as a commander over there, I should have suppressed it and had gone to do an attack. As a matter of fact, when I was a commander over there, some of the Korean generals came to me, English-speaking, and they said, we're prepared to have a counter-coup and to deal with the coup leaders and to get rid of them. But we need your help to do that. Will you give us your help? And I said, no, we're not in a coup business. And I talked to the ambassador on the phone, secure phone. He totally agreed with me. Can you imagine if I had said yes, we would have had a civil war in South Korea, and the North Koreans would have invaded. So, yeah, we came very close.
Well, thank goodness, General Wickham, you said no to that offer for the counter coup. How about China now? What's this? The deal that the president is going to remain in, I guess, almost president for life?
He could. That's right. Yeah. They, if they remove the two-year, I mean, the two-term
requirement,
every 5 years each, then President Xi can remain in office the rest of his life. Whether he will or not remains to be seen. But the fact that the Chinese and the Communist Party have found him a reliable leader and that they've made progress and are continuing to make progress, they like this and they want to continue it. So why not keep him in power? And the good news is, unlike Mao Zedong, who was the last dictator with unlimited time, the current president, President Xi, is a reasonable man you can approach. We have good contact with him, and Western nations have a good contact with him. The Japanese also, South Koreans also. Here's somebody that we can work with, and for the benefit of the world security. So I think it's good news for the future of the world to have him there.
All right, General Wickham, stick around. But right now I want to tell our listeners about a new sponsor, a new partner to the Buckmaster Show. We're so delighted to have Mona's Danish Bakery. It's my favorite bakery in town. Mona's, the home of the Danish Kringle. They're located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and Sherry, what a beautiful job they do. They're open right now for lunch. And have your lunch. They've got the soup and salad special. And why not for dessert? One of those, oh my goodness, I can taste it right now. One of those luscious chocolate brownies. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. This portion of the program presented by our favorite nursery in town. It's Green Things. It's spring gardening time at Green Things. They're located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They do these great workshops free to gardeners Saturday, usually Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., sometimes 2 in the afternoon. Find out the full listing of who they have speaking at Green Things AZ. That's their great website.com. We appreciate Green Things, and they have a nice link to my website, to buckmastershow.com on the Green Things website. Let's go back now to our conversation with General John Wickham, the retired U.S. Army Chief of Staff. And General Wickham, there was news about the Russian Prime Minister, Putin, revealing a slew of new defense systems, including a new prototype missile, General Wickham, that Putin says can reach any point in the world, and a supersonic weapon that cannot be tracked by anti-missile systems. Sounds kind of ominous, General.
It is, right, Bill? And while we have been devoting our energies for the last two or three decades to counterinsurgency and letting our military decline in quality and modernization. We're flying 50-year-old airplanes, for example, and our nuclear capabilities have come in need of upgrading. So, meanwhile, the Russians and the Chinese have improved massively their military capabilities, including nuclear. And now what Putin announced was an unusual capability, not a ballistic missile, but a cruise missile armed with a nuclear weapon. And why is a cruise missile so difficult? Because it flies along maybe a treetop or housetop level, very hard to detect, very hard to shoot down. And the missile systems that NATO has to shoot down ballistic missiles cannot hit these kind of a cruise missile. So it's almost impossible to do it. And we've got to develop a capability to do it. That's going to take time and money. So it illustrates, in a way, what Obama started to do and President Trump is trying to do, is invest more in our nuclear capabilities. It flies in the face of what we've been arguing, that we ought to get rid of nuclear weapons in the world. But, Bill, in your life and mine, well, that isn't going to happen. Morally, it's a good idea. But practically, it doesn't make sense. So you're right. The Russians are a challenge to us. And the new defense policy that Trump is pushing, General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, we're now going to focus more of our military capabilities and our strategy on dealing with China and Russia, and less on counterinsurgency.
Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be a hot spot. It has been in the past, but this whole situation with Russia's very hostile actions going on in the Ukraine, this is not good news.
It's not good news. It's an illustration of their push towards the West. Now, as an illustration, something we have to recognize, and you do, Bill, with your background, the Russians have faced onslaughts from the West, Napoleon and Hitler, each killing over millions of Russians. The Americans have never faced anything like that in our nation's history. Oh, the Civil War was a terrible war. But the Russians have faced this, and so they see NATO as a threat. And therefore, the Russians will tend to push their capabilities towards pushing NATO away from them and building capabilities. And Ukraine is part of that, influencing where Ukraine goes. They want to prevent Ukraine from being part of NATO or being part of the European Union. The western part of Ukraine, or the eastern part of Ukraine, speaks Russian and much more oriented towards Russia. And so that's been an attraction for the Russians. So the historic background goes back to when Russia was part of the USSR. Is what we're dealing with is a resurrection of that philosophy.
Well, General Wickham, with us, 790-2040, if you'd like to call in. The Afghanistan war, folks don't realize this. The time has really creeped up on this thing, General Wickham. You're very well aware of it. But do you realize, I'm saying this to our listeners in a very general sense, we have been at war in Afghanistan for 17 years. And you really have to feel for some of these troops that are going to be sent over there in deployment. It's like a lost war. The people at home don't really understand what's going on, General Wickham.
Exactly right, Bill. And we as Americans need to remember, why did we go into the U.S., Afghanistan in the first place? It was because of 9/11.
Yeah.
The origin of it came there. So we went over there to get rid of any capabilities that would threaten us again. Well, those have gone. When we got Osama bin
Osama bin
Laden. So that's gone, and so we've been in there for 17 years, so many billions of dollars, and we're getting nowhere. And the idea of adding a few more troops is mindless. It doesn't make any sense at all. What we need is a regional settlement to the war, getting China and India, Russia involved, Pakistan involved in some sort of long-term solution. We're not doing that. We've not exercised any diplomacy here. We're just sort of prolonging the war. And I think this is not in America's interest.
What about deployments for these soldiers? That some of them have been over there, my goodness, on numerous tours. This doesn't do a lot of help morale for them and their families at home, does it?
No, it doesn't, and it's a dangerous kind of a war. Stepping on a mine or something like that, or being shot by a sniper, but also being exposed to diseases. It's not a good place. No, you're right, Bill, and I don't think we need to be involved in that kind of thing. There's another thing that's creeping along. We've got people involved in Africa, troops that are advising various African countries, and we're likely to see more of that. I've got a grandson who's a medical doctor, and he's probably going to deploy to Africa for 6 months, helping care for some of these of our troops that are over there. So we're deploying too much overseas. We need to be much more sensitive to what we're doing with our military.
Yeah, and those actions in Africa flying under the radar screen, and best of luck to your folks that are going to be involved over there. General Wickham, are you still being able to get out and do some bicycling?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day I go 3 to 4 miles, and always the good Lord will let me continue to do that. It's a wonderful exercise, and fresh air, and the beauty of the mountains here. Arizona is a special place to live, and we're proud of the opportunity to live here.
Well, thank you.
To work with people like you, you're a wonderful program.
Thank you so much, General Wickham. We appreciate you very much, and we will talk to you in April. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill. Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot. General John Wickham, what an amazing man this General Wickham is. We're just so delighted to have him with us. Coming up this afternoon, if you haven't heard, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, they put together a show called Mike Check. It started out as an hour program, 4 to 5. It's been expanded now to 2 hours. They do 4 to 6. And today's lineup, Ray is going to talk a little bit about his trip up to Seattle. He had quite an adventure up there in the Pacific Northwest. Mike's going to talk about the book festival. This is a huge event now for Tucson. It's his book festival weekend coming up. I understand Bruce Ash is coming on. Bruce will be on at about 5:30 this afternoon. Bruce is the longtime Republican National Committeeman. He's always very outspoken, has lots of opinions. So I think it's a very good show they've got lined up today from 4 to 6. Give it a listen. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9 in the morning. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with our product that we put on here during the noon hour, Monday through Friday, the Buckmaster Show. So on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.